Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this August the 4th on the West Coast. Still 3 hours of, or no, 2 hours of the short-legged Mac Daddy's birthday left. And it's the 5th of August on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We can celebrate that birthday has moved on past us. It's history. Lots to discuss tonight, and I've been really making an effort to not pay any attention to what's being said by the mainstream media. And I have to tell you, I had a wonderful day of research. Some really interesting, exciting things that are going to come out in some future work. And again, the Wizard's Veil, I'm speaking of the Wizard of Oz, has been pulled back by Toto. And you're going to be quite surprised to learn some more about our history and our recent history, as well as some things that have gone on in our historical past, the things that are written up in all the history books, the propaganda of our educational system. And got some good news to report. I heard that the state of Missouri has basically rejected this abomination, and I spelled that with an A, of what is called a health bill. And I heard the vote was something like 71% to 29%. So Missouri has made a determination that they're not going to follow a dictator. Basically, that's what they're saying. We're not going to allow this country to enter into a dictatorship. And you see how long dictatorships last, for the most part. Although there have been a few throughout history that have lasted. One of Franz Joseph I of Austria-Hungary lasted 68 years. Now, they've announced back in 2001 that this was going to be a 100-year war on terror. And, of course, terror is equated with fear. We talked about that on last night's show, or I should say I talked about that. And I asserted the fact that we're just given a series of illusions, and it's become people's reality because they're inside the box. They're trying to see what's going on inside the box. They're not even participating with a lot of what's there, just buying into this belief system based on illusion and ritual and magic tricks and alchemy and spiritual depravity, we can call it. So we're going to talk about the events and of the day and the week, and bring tonight's guest on. He is a frequent guest of Evident Footprints. He is an environmental scientist. He is also an herbalist, a historian, and a musician, and my good friend, Mr. Michael Anthony. Michael, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Don. Thank you. Great to be back.
Nice to have you back. You got to hear what I just said, so I don't have to repeat it.
I was actually waiting in the green room.
You were. Anybody back there throwing a tantrum?
No, not right now.
Well, you got to. I know you're just clowning around, so we'll straighten that out first. you got to hear my remarks. I don't know if you caught last night's show, but I went pretty deeply into this whole idea of a society based on illusion. We've seen it over and over and over again. And the basic way it's confronted when people realize what's going on and they voice their disapproval is that we're crazy or we're nutcases. There seem to be more and more nutcases, yet we're questioning what's going on, and those that are perpetrating all these acts are actually the ones that appear to be the nutcases. If you want to deal with it rationally, they're constantly creating chaos. We were promised 100 years of war against terrorism, as if somebody had a crystal ball in reality and they could see how long a war on terror was going to last. Well, it has nothing to do with discernment. It's the pure evil plans of those that would try to cast fear into the hearts and minds of everyone else that just is existing. You know what
sure.
I mean?
Yeah, Dan, a war on terror. What does that mean? A terrorist, terror, there's no country here. They're not wearing uniforms. No clear delineation as to who the enemy is and how they dress and what they look like, okay? Now, you talk about illusion. There you go, pal. This is obviously just a bunch of malarkey that they're feeding us and just trying to, through their fear-based mechanism, to manipulate people into believing that there's an enemy out there that roams around country to country. But we're on them. Let's see, what's his name? Osama bin Forgotten. Yeah, that's right. And you know, it's so absurd. And Don, I'll have to actually say that regarding dictatorships and how long they last, we still got one going here, because when I really look at it, ever since Slick Willie, Agenda for Globalism, excuse me, let's go back prior to that to old man, the old Kraut Bush Sr. So starting from with him, this Agenda for Globalism, NAFTA, CAFTA, and Slick Willie Clinton follows up and consolidates it more with NAFTA and all this globalism stuff, which is essentially dragging the United States into the United Nations control. And then after Slick Willie of 8 years, we get Boy George, the compassionate conservative Christian also, we're told. And the agenda stays exactly the same. Even though the faces have changed, nothing's changed with the agenda. And then now we've got Obama. And the agenda is a rapid acceleration of the decline of the United States while it gets caught up in this globalism that's being thrusted upon us by the Rockefeller Rothschild bankster cabal. And here we are, like, what's the difference between this and a dictatorship? Even though the faces have changed, the agenda is exactly the same. Nothing has changed.
Yeah. Well, many of the same faces are around.
In the background, that's true.
And I wanted to clarify for the listeners, you use the term the old Kraut. That's actually what George H. Scherf Jr., a.k.a. G.H.W. Bush's friends call him. Affectionately, they call him the old Kraut.
Right, Don. I remember that on the show a long time ago, and that's why I referred to him as such.
Mm-hmm. And it's been written about, and it's also on the lips of many that have personally met those that overheard those statements, those names mentioned.
And, of course, he does speak fluent German, correct?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you won't hear him speak it.
In public.
Unless maybe he goes on a waterboard vacation or something. he might be inclined to utter a few words. I can tell you that this what we're experiencing today was planned a long time ago, and I see more evidence of that every day. It's nice to know now that the INS through Ellis Island wants to charge $29 a page for a copy of a ship manifest. 30 names on the list. They want to charge you for that.
And that's all of a sudden?
Mm-hmm. All of a sudden. Yeah, you can't open the documents to where they're legible. You have to buy it.
You have to purchase them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Of course. Then
so convenient.
Yeah. Prior to that, they were replacing the original pages with bogus pages, leaving names off or putting totally the wrong page up in the screen. In other words,
editing and modifying them.
Oh yeah, just masking it, totally masking it. So
just like top secret documents.
Mm-hmm. When I was doing my Eisenhower research, in fact, I included this in the article just to show people. Look at what comes up. How ridiculous this is. They were having technical difficulties, and I should leave my name and number. You know.
I'm sure, Don, they'll get right back to you.
Yeah, talking to me is sure going to clear up the technical difficulties.
I'm sure if they cleared it up, they'd get right back to you, Don.
So it's interesting now to see that they consider that a valid aspect of research, you see. You can find the truth there. Oh, but now you have to pay for the truth. And this is public records.
Yes.
We shouldn't be charged for that.
$29 We're talking about the federal government, Don.
Yeah, we're talking about a 11 by 17 sheet of paper.
Yeah, but it costs money to generate it. And, you know, the government workers, they have to, they got medical. They've got all this extra benefits. You've got to take that into account, Don. And times are tough.
Yeah. Well, how do they survive when nobody's buying the documents? Of course, they just started, so
curiously,
the intent isn't to pay for things. It's to steal more money and to obfuscate the truth. You have to be insane to pay $29 for a piece of paper with some chicken scratch on it, and half of it's lies.
Yeah, and then the other half is crossed out with black magic marker.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I just thought I'd share that with you because that's a new dimension, okay? It presents challenges, but let me tell you, they're doing the same thing with Google and some of the other search engines. They're making them so general and so vague. They want to dishearten anybody that has the intestinal fortitude to dig for facts.
Right.
And I mean, it's horrible. Either that, if they're not doing it intentionally, then they're all losing it.
But I have to tell you, intentional.
You know?
Sure, it's intentional. Of course.
Yeah. It's interesting too that when you find something that you know is going to have some pertinent information, the page is totally gone. This is while they're making all these upgrades, you know, to the system too. There are pages that probably haven't worked in 10 years and they're still cataloging.
Sure. You know, they probably had an inch of dust on them.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, when you're researching and you hit a particularly sensitive topic that they don't want discussed, or learned, you know, when they want to hide the truth, they panic. And it's really comical in a way because you're verifying, you know, what you suspect anyway.
It is hilarious when you see them operate in this way. It's because it is so obvious and blatant. And they are pretty much a bunch of bungling fools all in all, but they're cunning, very cunning. Clever, they plan it all out in their late night dark room, smoke filled rooms,
mm-hmm.
and so they have their agenda, no question about it. But it's so hilarious. But like you said at the beginning, Don, it's all about illusion, keeping us in the dark, and keeping us off track, so that we can't really discover the true reality and what is really operating behind the scenes, creating all this chaos and economic woe And they want it always to seem like it's haphazard, random, coming out of nowhere. They never seen it coming. They had nothing to do with it. When, of course, they're manipulating in all of these circumstances and conditions and subjecting us to everything that we're dealing with currently. And so that's how they operate. We know that. Fortunately, because of you, your excellent show, and BBS Radio and other great networks, the truth is able to surface. And there's people out there, Don, listening to you all the time that are eager to grab that truth. And that's the beauty of what you do and the network you're on. And hopefully, as people grasp the truth, and it's frustrating because you want to share it with so many people, and most of the time they think you're crazy, like you were saying earlier. But that's how the truth will continue to get around. And we're scattering seeds. Not all seeds will take. And so we have to, can't get too upset about that when we get frustrated, especially when it's those we care about and they just don't want to hear it. And then they come off on you like you're crazy or exaggerating or just focused on something trivial that there's more important things aside from these topics to be aware of. And yeah. So it's a challenge, that's for sure.
Well, you know, the stories that come out of the mainstream, and, you know, if you aren't listening to the mainstream, you don't hear those stories.
Never will.
And you don't have to contend with the lies that are being told. Because
although, you know, sometimes, Don, it does leak out, like when we had GW as president, his second term. And things get out. This was when he was shacking up with a male prostitute for 1 month straight in the White House. Jeff Gannon, a talent news agency. This is how it came out twice. So if you're looking, you know, and I don't watch much TV, so the timing was good. I happened to just catch it. But when I heard it, I recognized what was really going on there because they just blurbed out one time how Barbara Bush moved out of the White House across town, staying at a hotel. They don't get into the details. And then right around that same time frame, all the White House reporters are perturbed with Bush because when he came out for conferences to answer questions, he kept calling on this one guy. Not
Gannon, yeah, who is, correct. By the way, the older version of Johnny Gosch.
Yes,
who was,
that's correct.
Who was kidnapped.
Abducted as a young boy.
I think he was 12 when that occurred. Mm-hmm.
That's right. According to his mom, who at the around this time frame was on networks being interviewed. And so it did, you know, it did come out through mainstream media. But when it does, it's a trickle and you got to catch it quick and then run with it. And then you'll find out the real story behind that. Otherwise, it's all just, of course, snooze news.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he would give Jeff Gannon, we're speaking about W, he would give Jeff Gannon these, what would you call them, the obligatory questions that he knew the answers for.
Yeah, they were all softballs, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, it was all scripted out to occur that way. Yeah. Now, it's not that they're even going to permit certain questions to be asked by the rest of the media.
Sure, they're softballs, too.
Yeah.
But they didn't get called on at all, and that's what ticked them all off, you know? I mean, we're talking about the highfalutin CNN clowns, the high-paid clowns of MSN and or ABC and all the standard network stuff, and yet Bushy wasn't calling on them, just this one guy, Jeff Gannon, the whole time, who happens to be a male prostitute. There was photos of him posing on his website. Mm-hmm. And, of course, since they abducted him, Don, as Johnny Gosch, what they do, but, of course, expose him to all kinds of sexual perversions the rest of his life in the hands of these dirtbag scum. Mm-hmm. And they corrupted him to the point where now, as an adult, he's a male prostitute. And there's photos also of George G.W. Bush kissing him, hugging him, and kissing him on the head, not the lips, but on the head with hugs, tender hugs, all clearly captured in the photographs. This is the time when Barbara moved across town for a month straight because Gannon was in the White House that month for 200 hours logged in, in the books, logged
in. Yeah, and they said that when he arrived or left, he wasn't required to log in or
log out.
Or log out, you know, for that matter.
Because according to the reports I had, he was logged in for 200 hours at the White House. And that 200 hours in a month is basically the whole month, I would say.
Yeah, right? That's a long rehearsal, isn't it, for,
yes,
for the press conference?
Yep, that's correct, Don.
Well,
so, you know, once in a while it slips out, pal, and we catch him.
Yeah, they've had that going on for quite some time. Now, you know, that reminds me of all the hoopla and all the disgust about the lack of a certificate of live birth and Robert Gibbs' statement. Well, we put it online so everybody could see it on the Internet, as if that somehow made it a genuine document. It was just as phony. It didn't matter if it was on the Internet.
I just don't know how to get away with this absurdities. They just get away with it, like...
Yeah, they're just going to exaggerate. In that case, I mean, that's a lie. That's not the reason why they put it there.
They sure, and like you said,
you know, to fraudulently represent something that didn't exist.
Exactly.
There was no certificate.
And it's obvious the one published is not an authentic, detailed birth certificate. So, I mean, they get away with these lies, and it's, you know,
nobody
holds them to it, especially those in the media. They report it.
Yeah.
You know, but they never question it themselves. I mean, how much more proof do we need that these so-called news program shows are a bunch of paid whores that their one job is to say exactly what they're told. That's it. They don't think on their own. They probably have peanuts for brains anyway.
Yeah. Well, then we had recently recordings made and played, and these occurred back in during the campaign or after the campaign, snippets of speeches where the short-legged Mac Mama, I guess you could call her, was basically saying my husband's homeland, Kenya, his right. place of birth, Kenya. And we're just supposed to accept that?
Yeah, in one ear out the other, duh, huh? What?
Yeah. And he's made the same claims. I played some clips yesterday, or actually on Monday, I should say. I played some clips on both Drew Raines, a Marines Disquisition radio show, and then on my show with Dr. H. Watt on Monday night. We listened to a whole collage of exaggerations, lies, distortions, statements of non-fact or fiction, whatever you want to call it. And he actually claimed that his father served in World War II.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And when he came home, he got his military benefits.
Yeah, I mean that one came out
as if he came back to the States. I mean, let's get real.
That's right, Don. That one really came out of left field. I mean, he must have been drugged up on something to let that one out. Boy, and he puts his foot right in his mouth. But, yep, the media... No, Wolfie Blitzer, none of these losers, no, they can't question any of that. No, they just report it like it's fact. It's pathetic. It really is pathetic. And like we covered recently, Don, on the last show, I believe, mentioning how, again, with him and Blagojevich. And they don't really know each other. Blagojevich, right?
Blagojevich.
Thank you. And they don't really know each other. No. Yet here's all these photographs of them hanging out, partying together on many different occasions.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't know each other. They really don't know each other at all. And okay. The media.
They just talk one time. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right, Dan. Just talk one time. And yet the media reporting all this has access to the same photos, I'm sure. And yet, what? I mean... If this isn't a dictatorship right here, right now, then we have to redefine what dictatorships are.
Well, they allow the newsrooms and the editing rooms and the studios to be run by, infiltrated and run by CIA, CIA operative. Sure. So sure. What do you expect? They're following another dictate.
Exactly.
And I mean, they always say, well, this is national security. Come on.
Yes, that's right, Don. It's the same exact scenarios that you would see in a communist country or a Nazi country when you watch their news. It's exactly the same. But the Americans, generally, the boob tube watchers anyway, oblivious to this still.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to share an email that one of our listeners, Bryant, in Richmond, sent. And I think his viewpoint on this attitude of the media is pretty interesting. And here he's going to talk about a station in Richmond, Virginia, WHRO. And this is a note that he sent to them. To the station and Berg, it was just announced on WHRO, a classical music station in Tidewater, Virginia. Well, I misspoke already. It's Tidewater. That today is blank, blank, blank's 49th birthday. Who was born in Honolulu, Hawaii on this date in 1961, despite anything you've heard to the contrary? Why would such a radio station, who maintains no political bearing, go out of its way to substantiate a myth? Why would all we've heard to the contrary automatically be dismissed in favor of a misrepresentation for which there is no proof, when there is overwhelming evidence against it, even by the person in question's own behavior and testimony, and that of his spouse? The American people are faced with the duty to be fools overwhelmingly, in the sense that they are told, here is the lie. Now, it's now yours to believe it, no matter what. This is the proper definition of mental illness, there being none more severe, with the perfect possibility as well of none being any more dangerous or delusional. As to believe these people when they say, this quartet was performed by such and such hornblowers, despite anything you've heard to the contrary. What will it mean to be wrong, and who would know? I do know one thing, whom not to believe, having heard the strings. I think that's very well written, and it shows the quality of listeners that we have. But basically, he's making a point. There is a mountain of evidence to debunk the whole story, whether it was in an alleged autobiographical account, or if it was on TV or the radio or in the newspapers or in the magazines. It's been debunked up and down, sideways, inside out, outside in. It's been exposed to be a fraud on every count. And yet the mainstream ignores this or even aids and abets in furthering this. Obviously, that's what got Bryant upset enough to write this and basically tell them that they're suffering from mental illness. They're delusional.
Truly.
That they would even entertain the thought that everyone would just blindly accept all this. Because the people,
a lot of people voted for
classical music, you know.
Well, they know they got a lot of people to vote for the guy, Don. So that gave them a lot of confidence.
Well, yeah, and then again, that's under the presumption that there was an honest election.
True.
Does anybody really think that that's true?
Probably not. No. So, unfortunately, that's so true. Yeah, the media fails at being true and independent investigator researchers, Don. And everything you've discussed and mentioned is, of course, all, you know, nonsense, and we're all crazy. And there's no evidence of a North American Union or the United Nations, Don. There is no evidence that there is a United Nations and that it's intended for it to run the world. There is no evidence of that. Even though we have a building in Manhattan, New York, called the United Nations, it's a figment of our imagination. Just like there's no proof that even though Rockefeller, David Rockefeller, in 2006 in his book Memoirs, actually claims in his book that him and his family have been accused of a globalist agenda and committing treason against the United States and undermining it. And he actually says that those allegations are all true. I'm paraphrasing. And that he is guilty of that and proud of it. But there's no evidence of that, even though it's published in his book in 2006. The media just can't find it, even though they were staying up all night, I'm sure, working hard and trying to find some kind of evidence, Don, that there's this globalist conspiracy and a rampant undermining of the sovereignty of the United States as well as its security and well-being for the American people. And so it's, you know, we're just all crazy, Don.
Well, in that same quote, there is also a reference to his thanking the media for their many years of service in carrying out this
agenda. Quietly.
Agenda. Yeah,
that's correct, Don. Very good. That's absolutely true. Thanks for mentioning that. He even stated that fact that he was congratulating the mainstream media for the whole time over the last couple decades, easy, of not publishing anything regarding this, so that they could advance the agenda quietly and discreetly until it was all secure in place, ready to go. But again, this is all just hearsay, even though they're saying it. It's just hearsay, Don, because the mainstream media can't find any of this evidence.
Yeah.
Millions of dollars a year they're making, Don, just ain't enough with the overtime they're putting in on all that heavy-duty research.
Mm-hmm. Now, here we are in the middle of summer, and they're still promoting the aspect of the swine flu. I've heard people mentioning the bird flu. Whooping cough is another one. Whooping cough, if a child goes to a doctor with a cough, now it's to be called whooping cough. Time to get a vaccination.
Well, you know something, Don? I treated a lot of that this past year, and it's still around. And from the West Coast to the East Coast, so it's definitely around. And treated a lot of serious cases where people really couldn't stop coughing. So they're bringing it about, no question about it. They're creating the event, and the symptoms are real. So
yeah,
they can definitely justify another reason for a major vaccine again.
Mm-hmm. Would that have anything to do with chemtrails, do you think?
Most likely, since I'm seeing it from West Coast to East Coast all at the same time. And I've treated it steady for the past year. And for a while, there was maybe a couple months where I was thinking, you know, I haven't treated any of that lately. Not much lung formula for that one lately. Then all of a sudden, I get more here, West Coast, in between. And always pretty serious that they really just can't stop a perpetual cough. The lung formula clears it right up, fortunately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I haven't, fortunately, I haven't had to use that, but I've spoken with people that have, and they sing praises.
That's great to hear.
As we do with all the other things that we've tried of yours.
Thank you. That's great to hear. Keeps me encouraged.
Now with what's going on, and I don't really, you know, this thing in the Gulf is like watching a bad movie, you know, with no ending, or they're trying to figure out the ending of the movie while you're in the theater watching it, you know, and almost allowing the audience to actually vote on which ending they like the best. It's that ridiculous.
It's true, Don.
But there are accounts of people getting sick, mm-hmm. and I think it's due to the exposure of the toxicity. I listened to about 2 minutes of a replay of a hearing going on earlier today. This Gulf investigation that's going on in Congress, and You get these.
They'll get to the bottom of it.
Oh, you better believe it. Oh, now,
I bet Henry Kissinger, I bet they called him in, old Heinze. He's going to get to the bottom of it.
This is a very light crude, they're calling it. Now, it seems to me I recall seeing some two-ton tar balls floating in the ocean and washing ashore on some of the beaches.
The real crude is in Washington, D.C., and it sure isn't light.
Yeah. So, but they're talking about how important the dispersant is, even though this dispersant has been outlawed in other countries, England being one of them. Or Great Britain, you could say. They won't allow it in the water there. Why is that? Is it
because it's harmful?
Toxic? Yeah, because it's killing living creatures.
Destroys everything it contacts.
You know,
but that means it's good for us, Don. That's the beauty of the Americans and the American way. We can handle it. Let us have it. Give it to us. Americans want it.
Now, I wish I could show the video that that came out. I think it came out early in the morning, the morning of the 4th. Or it could have been a day or two before. But it appeared to be quite exciting to the narrator. And it's a YouTube video that shows the ROV reaching out, the arm is reaching out, and it's sticking some sort of a probe in the ground. It looks like a cylindrical bit. You can't see it spinning or anything. Then again, you wonder where this image is actually being shot.
Right.
But the arm extends, it goes into the ground for a few seconds, and then the robotic arm lifts it up, and the ground in front sinks. First, it was rising while this thing was probing. It was rising like a bubble was forming underneath the ground. And when the robotic arm was removed from the ground, the whole part that was rising up collapsed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is what's supposed to be going on the seafloor.
Right.
Of course, did you hear about that? Those that listen to the mainstream TV or radio.
I'm sure they're focused on more important stuff like Lindsay Lohan's trial.
Mm-hmm.
So there must have been a lot of pressure building up. This robotic device relieved that pressure, if it's legitimate footage.
Yeah, I mean, it raises a heck of a lot of questions, but no one was talking about it. No one. No one was talking about it.
Not on the snooze channels, Don. Of course not.
The snooze channel.
When you're ready to catch up on some sleep, just turn on the snooze channels.
Yeah. And we're getting reports of earthquakes in various parts of the world. And very little coverage of that, but nonetheless.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, Don, you know, when that happens, you know what that means? That means these are legitimate earth changes. And they're not creating them or anything. And therefore, they don't really want to expose the people to it. And most of the time, I bet you that's why they just don't bring that up when it's real, true, natural events happen. And I think everyone can sense now that changes are afoot here for the planet itself. Incredibly hot summer this year, total 180 degree reversal from last summer here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you're getting it too. And I bet you from pretty much around the country, it's been pretty much toasty. Most
talked to someone in the central time zone today that said it was 107 degrees. We're talking in the Midwest, 107 degrees, and it's supposed to go up even higher tomorrow. Now, we've also, just a few months ago, experienced some record lows. In fact, all last year, in some parts of the country, experienced all-time low averages for the year.
That's right.
All-time.
We are literally 180 degrees opposite of last summer's weather pattern.
Yeah.
And from crazy cool and wet last summer to very hot and mostly dry as far as not a lot of rain, but a lot of humidity with the heat. And occasionally we get here a California day where it's real hot but very dry and a nice crisp blue sky in the background. But mostly it's like Florida weather where it's real hot and muggy. And I know it's rough on a lot of people. And I just emphasize all the time to everyone that the changes that are coming are going to be very, very severe. And although the good Lord doesn't want to lose anybody, but nonetheless, we have to realize that the earth has been in a state of turmoil ever since the fall of Adam and Eve. We're going back thousands of years now. It's a long time. It's not meant to continue forever to be a hellhole down here where insanity reigns supreme, the insane run the asylum, where evil scumbags have total control over the people, their countries, and their governments. And so we're coming to a close of this phase, but it's more than that that's going to end. As far as an age, the world is not going to end. The world is going to graduate, rightfully so, so that this world can offer a much more appropriate, peaceful place for souls that want to experience God, not evil, but God. And that would be a lot of peace and harmony. And eating animals just won't exist then. And so that's why I tell everybody with this heat wave now, I said, how much more proof will you need that the Lord's going to burn everything off this planet that can't handle the heat? But if you really treat your body like a temple, you will be able to handle that heat. Now, when it's brutally hot the way it is right now, swimming, of course. I hope everybody has a place to swim in nice, healthy, quality water. And by the way, Don, if I may mention, I don't think I've ever did this, but I'm also, as a scientist, I know how to treat water. Swimming pools, all natural, healthy. If you have an in-ground swimming pool, say 16 by 32, 8 foot deep, approximately 20,000 gallons of water. I can show you a way to run that pool from May to October, and you won't spend more than $50 on chlorine the entire time. Water will always be beautiful blue. And you don't need to run your filter hardly at all, saving electricity as well. Been doing it for at least 20 years. And anybody interested, get a hold of Don or myself, and I will show you how to do that. Be glad to. Save you a bundle. Your water's now enjoyable, healthy. It's not really technically a chemical tank that you're swimming in. And so, but swimming, so important in this kind of weather, of course. But aside from that, it's nice, fresh, ripened fruit like cold watermelon and cherries. That keeps the body very cool. And instead of air conditioning, you'll find that a fan will really serve nice, keeping you pretty much radiated without anything else. But when you eat all that other stuff, you're going to find that your body gets hotter. And it has to, because it's slowing down the metabolism, plugging up the pores, which retains more heat. And so that's something that I hope everybody really considers. And over time, from here on out, you will appreciate what I just said, because this is what's happening. It's going to gradually continue to get hotter and hotter, because the Lord never fails. And out of all the prophecies we have in the Old Testament, the one from Malachi is most relative to now. And that is, behold, a day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, ye, all that are wicked, shall be stubble on the day that I do this, saith the Lord, leaving them neither root nor branch. But unto ye who fear my name, the sun of righteousness shall rise with healing in its beams. Ye shall go forth and grow strong like calves of the stall. Ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of thy feet on the day that I do this, saith the Lord. And so that's what's coming our way. As the earth graduates, the transition to get to that nice golden age that is coming, and I'm not talking the old world, new world order, golden age that they're alluding to, that's never going to happen, it's never going to be golden. But the real, true golden age that God is going to bring through the Lord upon his return, but before he returns, the stage will already be set for his return. And that will be the transmutation of everything down here. And what cannot be transmutated into a higher state of energy will have to be recycled. And that means, of course, death. And so that's what's coming. And you'll find, if you treat your body like a temple, like I do, you're old, even right now, it's like 80 degrees out right now, I'm in a studio, it's hot, I don't have air conditioning on. Granted, I'm just in shorts, I don't even wear a shirt, and everybody probably says, a guy never wears a shirt all day long, but how can you when it's so hot? But aside from all that, I'm very comfortable. And I can sleep fine without air conditioning. And during the daytime, even though that sun is incredible with the humidity, it's wickedly hot. But I love this layout in it still. Granted, I'll swim. But I could soak it up and still enjoy it. And it doesn't bother me.
What a picture that portrays. You're in shorts, no shirt, and you're wearing headphones.
That's pretty much it, Don.
Okay, next topic.
You know, it's funny because in the wintertime when there's a blizzard, I'm out there shoveling with no shirt on because I'm warm as toast, right? And so, of course, people that will see me, you know, going by, driving by, or walking by, they're all bundled up and they're stunned, of course. There's a crazy guy out there with no shirt on shoveling. But I never get a sniffle, never get a cold. And like last summer, some neighbors and nearby the wives were hanging out talking, and then I heard them happen to mention something. I was in the garden, and I overheard something to the effect of, you know, he's wearing a shirt, you know, at last. I can't believe it. Something like that. He's wearing a shirt. And I wanted to yell over, what makes you think I'm going to wear a shirt in the hot summertime when in the wintertime I'm not even wearing a shirt?
Well, you know, there are people that actually go out in public at major sporting events and take their shirts off.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's funny, you can get away with that at a football game or a baseball game. But if you take your shirt off outside the venue, they'll arrest you for indecent exposure. But it's okay in the entertainment environment.
Good
it's
point.
It's part of the mass chaos, you see.
That's absolutely right. Bread and circus, part of the Bread and Circus Act. It's true.
So.
Yeah. But it's, you know, when it's that hot, I mean, forget it.
Well, there are more important things going on. Now, I've been following the plight of the veterans that are returning back to the United States and suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder, traumatic brain injuries, depression,
even suicides.
Well, I mean, they result in some cases in suicides. It could be because of medications they're being given, or these cocktails of experimental vaccines that aren't tested. I mean, they're not testing the vaccines for the masses. When they claim they do, they're putting out fraudulent results. All of this information is coming out. We've been saying this for years, haven't we?
And absolutely.
We're still confronted with these lies because they've considered themselves God. It's okay for them to lie to the people.
And they have total disdain for us.
Yeah. I was listening to another show, actually Dr. H. Huat show tonight, and I didn't catch the name of his guest, but his guest was describing his own research in the area of what the leading causes of death are. And the first three that he mentioned, number one was cardiac failure, whether that's congestive heart failure or cardiac arrest. But basically heart problems was the number one killer. Cancer was number two. Mm-hmm. And number three, I wonder if you would take a stab at what that might be on the basis. And I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but this was a very interesting statistic that he came up with. What do you think the category of the third most responsible cause of death would be?
Accidental gunfire. No, I'm only kidding. just like with the guy that was going to be a football player, and they killed him in Afghanistan under Rumsfeld's watch.
Oh, yeah, you're talking about Pat Tillman.
Right. Tillman. Accidental fire.
Yeah, friendly fire, they call it.
Friendly fire, there you go.
Three weapons at close range to the head.
All in the forehead, yes, right, Don. Yeah. All accidental.
Because he was going to expose the corruption that was going on there.
He wasn't going to re-enlist.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, the third...
So the third one, Don?
Death by doctor.
You're kidding.
Death by doctor. The many, many deaths that are reported in the... In the process of a surgery or other treatment being irresponsibly handled.
Mm-hmm.
That is this. Now, I don't know the numbers, but you can imagine that's
I can't believe that one. That's a lot of men, because how many of our GIs are going to see a doctor? Most of them at some point in their career as a soldier.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the percentage, Don? Do you have that number of those that go to the doctors for some kind of medical help, surgery or whatever? What's the percentage that don't make it out?
Oh, that I don't know. You know, I haven't done a in-depth study.
Significant enough to rank number three on what causes the deaths of our soldiers.
No, this is of all people I'm talking about.
I'm sorry.
One cause.
I'm sorry.
Here in America.
Oh, absolutely. For us in general, as a people, absolutely. If doctors aren't number one or two, then number three for sure.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I know of, two cases that come right to mind. One was a young kid, just married years ago, little baby, went in for a routine, supposed to be routine, killed him. And then one not too long ago, and this is what I emphasize again for everyone that has seniors in their family. Please keep them healthy. Don't let them have a need for doctors, because you'll notice that all the seniors, for a high percentage of the seniors that have to go to a doctor or especially a hospital, a high percentage of them don't come out. And if they do, they don't last long when they do come out. And I know the other case is related to that, which is just a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm. And now, that's not to impugn the doctors that do good work.
And of course not.
That do keep up with not just technology, but the art. And I think
they care, Don.
Yeah.
They care. The other ones don't.
You know, they stress continuing education, but it always centers on pharmaceutical drugs and the application of something that has more side effects than it does benefits, and many which result in death too. The amount of people dying from pharmaceutical drugs is pretty high. I wouldn't be surprised if it was next on the list, but I don't even know if that gentleman that Dr. Ott had on the show had actually done the study on a variety of other causes. I'm not privy to all that. But those three, top three, sort of caught my attention.
Sure.
I'm sure if one of us did the same research, we might come to the same conclusions.
Yeah, and I'm on the same page. It's obvious.
These things don't have to happen. That's the whole point that we're making, is that these parameters of health, you know, you're shown a narrow passageway. And if you can sort of stay in that passageway, you won't get sick. But you've got things coming at you from every direction. Buy this, buy that. When you're this, everybody has this problem. You know, we hear these. We've joked about these on past shows.
The new diseases that they're creating. I mean, that they're, you know, like all of a sudden this is you got a twitching leg. Well, that's a disease. Did you know that? But we have a med for that one, too.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Yeah. It's just another tactic, Don, like you stated, to attack the public by poisoning them. And now they try to do it through quote-unquote medicine. just like they are doing in our food supply, in our water supply, spiking everything they can. But even though this is all fact, Don, there is no evidence of it, and the mainstream media just can't, you know, they can't find any proof of any of this being true. Even though there's fluorides and chloramines in the water, and who knows what else is in the water today? Probably pharmaceuticals, which is scary. But yeah, you can't trust it, that's for sure. And in your food supplies, definitely. Genetic modifications of foods, the GMing of foods.
And the spraying of in the skies.
The constant chemtrailing.
And other toxins, chemicals.
But there's no evidence of chemtrails, Don. Otherwise, the mainstream would be right on top of it. But obviously, because they're so caught up in their heavy-duty research and investigations, they never have a chance to go outside and look up into the sky and see them.
Mm-hmm. There was a movie shown a couple of months ago. It was a cowboy movie taking place sometime in the late 1800s out west.
There's a chemtrail.
There was more than one chemtrail. There was an X.
You're kidding. An
no.
X? They should have redone that scene.
The guy got off his horse, and the shot was sort of a medium shot of him and the horse from slightly below eye level view, you know, looking up at him. And it caught the sky, and you could see this in the otherwise blue sky. This X and a long trail that had been basically sprayed there maybe within a minute of them shooting this take.
Sure, if it was that concise and it didn't start drifting apart, that's right. It had to be a very recent deposit.
Now, this was an urban cowboy. You know, this was the Wild West.
Set in the older times, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Not a modern time frame.
Yeah, this was in the late 1800s. So...
they can't, those poor directors, Don, no matter where they're filming today, they can't avoid chemtrails, so I guess it's not worth editing them all the time out of the shot.
Yeah. Now, even if it was only a contrail, it would have been ridiculous to
right.
have that in there. But
how do you justify it? Exactly.
It was a chemtrail. They don't make X's with contrails. They never have, and they never will.
That's correct. Even though... we're told that's just routine air traffic, Don, and sometimes they just crisscross like that, Don. You know, sometimes it happens. Sometimes it ends up as a checkerboard, but that's just the routine flight patterns. You know, because when I first spotted chemtrails in the late 90s, working outside all the time in the summer, and I'm always looking up at the sun and the sky and enjoying the clouds while I'm out there working, and I realized that something weird's going on because you start off the day with a crisp blue sky and a bright sun. By 12 o'clock, there's no blue, milky gray, white everywhere. The sun's obscured. And I started to realize, you know, that they are not natural clouds. So I began to look closer, and I realized that it's some kind of deposit activity from high altitude jets. Clearly, to me at the time, the intention was to block the sun, obfuscate the sun's rays from penetrating to the earth. And I contacted the local airport, and because I'm in my backyard now seeing it all the time. And so I call them up one day and I say, what the heck is going on up in the sky? And the guy goes, what do you mean? I said, what do I mean? Look, what are all those trails? He goes, they're just contrails, normal routine air traffic activity. I says, no way. They're not disappearing. They're lingering, and they descend and merge, forming these cirrus-style clouds, but they're obviously chemical-based, not natural cirrus clouds from moisture. The guy goes, oh, no, 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 no. So I'm going back and forth with him saying something's wrong and it doesn't make sense. And he actually said, I assure you there's nothing sinister going on here. And that's when, right at the end of the conversation, I'm like, what did you just say, pal? Do you realize what you just said?
Oh, you never said those were sinister clouds,
right?
Did you?
Never. You got it, Don. What prompted him to say it like that, you see? That's
yeah.
right.
So we have to take your account as accurate because you weren't carrying a tape recorder with you, you know.
Right.
But
97-98 time frame.
Yeah. I've told the story a few times when I was talking to some local firemen pointing to the serious chemtrail activity that was occurring at low altitude. And it was hot that day. The significance of the day and their being there had to do with the fire that erupted on a transformer, on a power line transformer.
Wow, that's hot.
It caught fire. The line caught fire, and the electricity was still flowing through that circuit,
right?
And went to the house and started a fire at the first house.
Boy,
which the transformer was in front of, actually, you know, by the street, but on
right.
top of a pole, and so the heat induced that. And I said, "Do you realize how hot it is here? Are you telling me that at what looks to be about 10,000 feet, that the water vapor is freezing in this heat? Are
nice.
You crazy? You're firing."
Right. Right. I don't see nothing.
And you know, their captain was sort of scratching his head and
What?
It's amazing.
It is.
And these are the people. I mean, they're valiant when they're doing their
work. Yes, they are.
But
and I respect them for that.
Yeah, but these are the people who we depend upon.
That's right. And they're just not astute.
Yeah.
Don, by just curious, did you happen to catch when a transformer went and the arc? Was there a lot of arcing on the wire? Did you hear it pop?
I heard the initial explosion, as you know others did, and then you heard that AC hum, that loud sound as it's burning through the wire,
right?
Burning the insulation off the wire, and the birds are freaking out, flying in every direction because they had been roosting, you know,
yeah.
in the vicinity there, and they got quite upset, but. It was like somebody lit a fuse, you know, the
'cause they can arc.
Yeah.
I've seen it arc here after that heavy winter storm we had at the end of the winter, where a lot of tree damage everywhere.
And during the global warming times,
yes, exactly at the global warming time frame when we had that very cold weather pattern blow through. and it was a crazy storm on top of it, caused a lot of damage, down without power. And when the power went out on the corner, I seen the electricity actually go back and forth, arcing across the wire. Thank God. It didn't hit the house. It just, something obstructed it from going to the house. And I was praying, please, Lord, don't let it happen. Don't let it happen. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning. It woke me right up, though. I heard that pop, pop, pop. What power? Electricity. Amazing force.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so. Back to that one.
So, you know, we have these anomalies occurring in front of us, and there are those that are totally ignorant of it. I guess they're entitled to be ignorant, but it's interesting to bring that up. You know, wouldn't you love to hear somebody say, oh, I know what that is. That's a chemtrail.
Yeah, right. It's great when you do run into somebody that does say it, too.
But it's 1 out of 1,000 or maybe 1 out of 10,000. That actually say that.
Could be. Around here, I think at least
two,
some
maybe,
of the circles.
Two.
Yeah, it's you know, it's what's good is it's the younger kids, too. It's the younger generation that seem to be more aware of it, because it's mainly from them in that particular generation that I'd say into their early 20s that are talking about it. But no question about it, most of the adults and everything, they seem to be totally oblivious to everything around them.
Mm-hmm.
And no question about it, Don, people stare at the ground. They don't really lift their eyes up.
Yeah.
And I find that to be very common.
Now, why are we concerned about this spraying, for those that are listening and hearing this sort of thing for the first time?
Well, how about the whooping cough that you just alluded to a little while ago?
Or Morgellons.
And that one.
Or a host of other, not necessarily whooping cough, but respiratory problems, people coming down with pneumonia or
treated a lot of that,
being lethargic because of the drugs that are being put in it.
Mm-hmm.
Valium and anthrax.
Valium is coming down?
Oh, yeah.
They've actually detected that one.
Yeah.
That's barium.
Several years.
You're not referring to the barium salts, right, Don?
Not the barium salts. This is in addition to the barium salts and the polymers and the gold and the desiccated blood. What in God's name would prompt them to put desiccated blood?
It's got to be contaminated, of course.
You know,
if they're going to go through that.
Of course, what the victims come down with when they have more gallons, and you know, there's a lady named Jan Smith that Jeff Rentz had on the show a few times, and he's been featuring her writings, and she's taking a very pragmatic look at that whole issue. She is a more gallon sufferer herself, and she's describing how the fibers that she's removing from within her body, mm-hmm. through the skin, through lesions that develop, or maybe from her mouth or her nose, pretty much, I guess, anywhere, they find their way out of the body. And these things have mutated beyond just the fibers that we've seen. I've got a picture that someone had sent me of this research, and I zoomed in and magnified a portion of it, and there is actually a microscopic entity that has a face.
Right.
Eyes, ears, nose, mouth. And it's quite demonic looking, actually. And it's there are hexagons and in some cases octagon shaped what might be protein crystals that are containing these entities, if you want to call them that. I don't know what the original magnification is that produced the photograph, but I went further and I cropped out that section, and it's pretty alarming what I saw. These are parts of the fiber as if they were beads strung onto the fiber.
Mm-hmm.
I say baubles, bangles, and beads.
That's weird. I haven't studied it too much because I haven't had time, but I've treated it and successfully. Two out of two cases, and one of them was a lady, a nurse, with a microscope at home, Don. And I've mentioned this in the past. I was hoping she'd get a hold of you and have you publish her documentation on all this with the photographs. From all my experience working with them, it seemed to be microorganism like a botfly, and the fibers were the silk from the cocoons that would develop in the larvae stage, and the larvae were embedded in between the layers of the skin, and so that's how the fibers were emanating out of the skin. And a while back, not too long ago, I called in as a caller for the Micro Effects show with Raylan of Rumor Mill News. She was discussing Morgellons with a guest, and but they were getting into stuff that I from all my experience wasn't what I knew Morgellons to be. So I called up and I was questioning all that and saying maybe there's more than one kind of Morgellons. Now what I've learned through this client that was a nurse, when she took photographs, that there seemed to be some genetic modifications to this microorganism, and that it had a parasite on it, and that when you blew it up in magnification, you would definitely see a face, a demonic-looking type of face. Very scary, she said. And so when I called in on Raylan, and she was actually saying, well, you know, I don't think you sound like you're CIA. You could be a disinformation guy. And I'm like laughing, basically saying, I even had a guy call right up after I hung up, and he knew me from calling in all the time on various shows, and he goes, I can't believe she said you were CIA, you know. And
I've shared my thoughts on that topic too. So
I got the website that her guest was promoting with all the photographs on it, and I had my client check it out, and because I didn't have time for that, and I just wanted to see what my client would verify from her studies and observations compared to that website's observations and studies. And she said, she got back to me and she said, Michael, photographs, everything pretty much matches from what I've seen. So therefore, I don't know where they're coming with the synthetic webs and nanotechnology when it looks like it's basically a biological genetic activity.
Mm-hmm.
And based on a bot fly type of microorganism that's easily ingested because they're basically microscopic to begin with. And but nonetheless, Don, the chemtrail activity, depositing all kinds of horrendous chemicals, and unfortunately looks like biological as well, on the public. And there's no accountability, and it's going on everywhere. You see it in the movies. You see it on commercials. You walk around. You see it all the time. And yet, there's no real talk about it. And you think everybody by now would be talking about it all the time.
Yeah, and certainly there's been enough evidence to come out. It's an agenda. It's a UN agenda worldwide.
Part of the depopulation.
Yeah. Population control, just anything.
Any way to do it.
Yeah.
The most drastic is war and starvation.
Yeah.
The more subtle is slow poisoning through food and water and air.
So true. Michael, I have to tell you, we're out of time already. The hour flew by and some extra minutes on the end of it. But I want to encourage folks to check out Michael Anthony's private stock if you're suffering from any of the things that we talked about. Michael's information is on my page. Just go to directlightproductions.com, click on sponsors, click on Michael Anthony, and it'll take you right there. Want to thank you for being on the show. I could go on hours more talking about all this stuff and just pointing out the inconsistencies of what we're being told and the consistency of the lies and these phenomena that everyone is seeing all over the planet. We are truly in a time of spiritual warfare. I know you'd agree. Closing
100%.
Comment.
Yes, sir, Don, I agree 100%. It's always a pleasure for being on your show. A lot of fun. And I thank you again for inviting me. And that's right, Don, spiritual warfare, so we can never drop our guard. And that guard is virtuous living. Through virtuous living, we're the powerful beings, unconquerable, by the way, because we never get sick. And there's ways to heal real fast from any situation. It's easy to retain your youthfulness, and that's what they don't want us to have, because then they can't manipulate, control, or run us down. And that's the key to it all, staying close to the good Lord. That's the key to it all for happiness, sanity, prosperity in a world that's decaying, and there's no other answer. So I hope everyone discovers that, as I have. And thanks again, Don. God bless.
My pleasure. You, same to you. Folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on BDSradio.com, and tonight's special guest, Michael Anthony. Special thanks also to Wind Talkers Radio Network. And over at BBS, want to thank Don Newsom on the sound. Also, Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. And most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when my special guest will be the host of the very popular Wind Talkers Blog Talk Radio show, A Marine's Disquisition. My good friend Drew Malone Raines III. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.